morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to all of you. At this time, we'll listen to the bell. The bulletin, I believe, is complete, has everything in it. There are a few things, a few changes we will make. This morning we're going to welcome some young people to communion for the first time. So please join me, stand as you are able, and we'll turn to the brief order of confession and forgiveness. I'm not sure if I'm turned on, Scott. Well, I'm turned on, but I'm not sure my mic is. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Almighty God, to whom all hearts are opened, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen. Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Most merciful God, we confess that we are in bondage to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done, and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the church, and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
We're going to do something for one of our hymns each week. Sometimes we take our hymns for granted and we miss the significance of them. Today, the one, O Zion, Haste, was written in 1868. A worried mother was worried about her child who was critically ill. She prayed to the Lord for healing of the child, but she realized how quickly her comfortable lifestyle was jolted by the reality that something really important was happening. And what's really important to God is the evangelization of the world. If God raised up her child, would she be willing to see that child go off as a missionary to a continent like Africa, where David Livingston was lost in the interior? Out of her inner wrestling with such questions, 34-year-old Mary Ann Thompson wrote these words. The hymn blends the messianic pronouncement of Isaiah 52 with the missionary call of Romans 10. For over 100 years, this hymn has stirred thousands to respond to the Lord's call. O Zion, haste!
Through town to all. Declares Jerusalem and Judah will be restored. God will rejoice over Jerusalem as a bridegroom rejoices over his bride, and the people are called to the celebration. And now the reading. For Zion's sake, I will not keep silent, and for Jerusalem's sake, I will not rest until her vindication shines out like the dawn and her salvation like a burning torch. The nations shall see your vindication, and all the kings your glory, and you shall be called by a new name that the mouth of the Lord will give. You shall be a crown of beauty in the hand of the Lord, and a royal diadem in the hand of your God. You shall no more be termed forsaken, and your land shall no more be termed desolate, but you shall be called, My delight is in her, and your land married. For the Lord delights in you, and your land shall be married. For as a young man marries a young woman, so shall your builder marry you. And as the bridegroom rejoices over the bride, so shall your God rejoice over you. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We will read the Psalm 36 responsibly today, and it's in your bulletin. Your love, O Lord, reaches to the heavens, and your faithfulness to the clouds.
Your righteousness is like the strong mountains, your justice like the great deep. You save human mind and animals, O Lord.
How priceless is your love, O God. Your people take refuge under the shadow of your wings.
They feast upon the abundance of your house, and give them drink from the river of your delights.
For with you is the well of life, and in your light we see light.
Continue your loving-kindness to those who know you, and your favor to those who are true of heart.
The second reading today is from the 12th chapter of 1 Corinthians. The congregation at Corinth experienced division as people were comparing one another's spiritual gifts, thinking some to be superior to others. Paul invites this fractured community to trust that God's Holy Spirit has gifted them all perfectly for their mission together. And the reading. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, you were enticed and led astray to idols that could not speak. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking by the Spirit of God ever says, "Let Jesus be cursed." And no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of services, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who activates all of them in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. To one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the discernment of spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. All these are activated by one and the same Spirit, who allots to each one individually, just as the Spirit chooses. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
St. John, the second chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
On the third day there was a wedding at Cana in Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was invited and was there. Jesus and his disciples were invited also. And when the wine gave out, the mother of Jesus came to him and said, "They have no more wine." Now I'm going to interject something into this that is not written in the lesson. But as we've learned in the Bible study we've been doing, that sometimes the writers of Scripture had to leave little details out. And these details may be just my imagination, but consider that Mary is a typical Jewish mother. And Jesus is a typical Jewish son. When Mary comes to Jesus, Jesus is probably in that mood of saying, "Oh, Mom," because what he says is, Woman, what does this have to do with you and me? My time has not yet come. Now, another injection here. Mary probably gives Jesus that steely-eyed Jewish mother's look that says, you do what I tell you to do. Because the next line says, she told the servants, do whatever he tells you to do. And so Jesus tells them, without hesitation, fill the pots with water. Now they're standing there, six stone pots, each containing 20 to 30 gallons of water for the Jewish rites of purification. And they filled them to the brim. Then Jesus said to them, take some out and take it to the steward of the feast. And so they did. They took it to the steward, and the steward tasted it and didn't know that the water had become wine and didn't know where it came from. But the servants knew. And can't you just see them kind of, he's drinking water and he doesn't even know it. But the steward of the feast calls the bridegroom to him and says, everybody serves the best wine first. And then when everyone has well drunk, in other words, everybody is drunk, they serve the inferior wine. But you have saved the best wine till now. This is the first sign that Jesus did in Cana of Galilee. And he showed his glory. And the disciples believed in him. That's the good news, the gospel of the Lord for today.
Praise to you, Christ.
You may be seated. I'm going to invite the children to come up. Now, if I'm not mistaken, most of the kids here, yeah, everybody here, have a seat. And Jeremiah was my assistant as we were teaching.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to let you pass those out. As we were teaching them the meaning of communion, and it's amazing how I gave them all a test that I was going to bring a copy of for you, because I thought everybody should be able to pass this test if they could pass it, and they did, right? Gesundheit. So today they're going to receive their first communion.
Oh,
it does, doesn't it? Whoa.
Okay. Alan? No. Joel is not here.
She is sick, and so is Jace.
Jace is sick. Ben? There we go. And Ellie.
Elise? Oh, we got Ellie? Oh, that's you did yours. You're already, you're an old pro, aren't you? She didn't even have to take the test. Isn't that fantastic? Wow. Well, one of the things that they also did was made communion bread, unleavened bread. And that's what we're going to serve you today. And to be honest with you, really very good. So at this time, I'm going to invite their parents to come up, and we'll give everybody one of these. And if you'd like to join us, you're welcome to, okay? Moms and dads, come on up. You need one too, don't you? Pass this out. Excuse me. We get everybody? Why don't you guys face the altar? Okay? There we go. We're all facing the same way. The following young people have been instructed and, with their parents' consent, have been approved for admission to the table of the Lord: Elise Sorrell, Ben Pearson, K. Callan Johns, and then Jolene and Jace Foss have also been approved, but we'll do theirs when they get to feeling better. In holy baptism, these young people were received into the family of the church and were accepted by Christ as his own. They have learned what Christ has done for them and the gift that's being offered to them in this sacrament. They know that they are sinners and in need of forgiveness. They know the joy of being loved and accepted by him and are eager to say thank you. Therefore, as members of the family, they are now ready to receive the Lord's Supper. On behalf of the church, I ask you, do you believe that in holy baptism God accepted you as his child? If so, answer, I believe. That's your line.
I believe.
All right. Are you, you are about to be admitted to Holy Communion. The church invites you and expects you to come regularly to the services of God's house. It's important that you hear what God has to say to you and that you give him thanks. You will also be expected to continue to attend Sunday or Wednesday school so that you may grow in your understanding of what living a Christian life means. You will want to receive Holy Communion as often as you can. Later, you will be invited to confirm your faith and commit your life to Jesus Christ. All of this will help you to live as God wants you to live. So I ask you, do you promise to worship, attend Sunday or Wednesday school, and receive Holy Communion regularly? Here's your line. If so, say, I do with the help of God.
I do with the help of God.
All right. The congregation has heard these promises of God's whole family shares the concern and responsibility for helping you to grow up in Christ. Will you, the parents, do all you can to encourage your child to fulfill their promises? If so, answer, I will with the help of God.
I will with the help of God.
Will you, the congregation, do all you can to help these young people to fulfill their promises? If so, answer, I will with the help of God.
I will with the help of God.
Then by the authority of the church, I now invite you to the Lord's table to receive the presence of Christ in this sacrament, in his sacrament with us. The blessing of Almighty God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you always. And all God's people said,
Amen.
All right, you may be seated. Thank you. And at this time, I would like to invite my lovely bride to come forward. I shared the gospel with you as I had learned it, and now I'm going to sing it for you also. And if, when you catch on to the refrain, please join me. Sing of the bride and sing of the groom, and the wine that was flowing free. When the Lord was a guest at the wedding feast in a town in Galilee. Fill the pots with water and raise your glasses high, for the Lord has come to Cana. And change water into wine. Sing of the bride and sing of the groom, and the feast all night and day. With the wine running short at the wedding feast, to the steward's sad dismay. Fill the pots with water and raise your glasses high, for the Lord has come to Cana. And change water into wine. Please will you help? They have no more wine. Said a mother to her only son. He said, woman, don't you know you can't turn to me? For my time has not yet come. Fill the pots with water and raise your glasses high. The Lord has come to Cana. And change water into wine. Wait till the day and wait till the time for the cross and a fine new wine with a taste that's fine and free. Fill the pots with water and raise your glasses high, for the Lord has come to Cana and changed water into wine. Drink to the bride and drink to the groom at the wedding in Galilee. And then drink to the life that is like new wine to all people who wish to be free. Fill the pots with water and raise your glasses high, for the Lord has come to Cana and changed water into wine. In the Old Testament, Israel is referred to as God's bride again and again. In the New Testament, the new Israel is referred to as the bride of Christ. Throughout Scripture, weddings are symbolic reminders of the relationship God wants to have with His people, close and intimate. The story of the wedding at Cana can thus be read in two ways. First, as the marriage of a bride and a groom, when Jesus, the invited guest, brings a new and special gift to their wedding in the form of the first miracle. But second, it may also be as the marriage of mankind and the Lord, in which Jesus prepares a very special banquet of the Lord. Consider this dialogue from both perspectives. Behold, you are fair, my love. Behold, you are fair. You have dove's eyes behind your veil. Your hair is like a flock of goats going down from Mount Gilead.
Oh, Yuri, how poetic.
But there is more, my dove. More that I have written for you, Mia, my love. Your teeth are like a flock of shorn sheep which have come up from the washing. Every one of them bears twins, and none is barren among them. Your lips are like the strands of scarlet, and your mouth is lovely. Your temples behind your veil are like a piece of pomegranate. Your neck is like the Tower of David, built from an armory, for an armory on which hang 1,000 bucklers, all shields of mighty men.
Yuri, you're making me blush. And why have I not heard your poetry before?
Because, my fairest, I borrowed those words from King Solomon in the Song of Solomon, but they come from my heart too. You are all fair, my love, and there is no spot in you.
They are beautiful, Yuri, but if it weren't for this veil, people would see my red face.
Your red face is like...
Yuri, stop. Here comes Mary, now behave yourself.
Mary is just checking to see if we have enough food and wine. Thank you, Mary.
We appreciate all you're doing.
I didn't think this week would ever come. Do you have any idea how hard it was to concentrate on my work?
You? I never had a moment's rest, what with all the women coming and going, giving me advice on training a husband and such.
Training a husband? That sounds scary.
Well, they didn't tell me anything I didn't already know from watching my mother and my father. Well, almost anything. There are a few things.
Well, I suppose women have to keep us men in our places somehow.
No doubt about it, but the women were so helpful in getting me dressed up like a queen yesterday. Martha made my veil, and Joanna gave me some of this jewelry, and Lydia found this crown for me to wear. I feel so special.
Oh, Mia, you are precious, my beloved.
Now stop that, Yuri. We have to spend this whole week feasting with the other people, and we can't get carried away like that.
I suppose you're right. It is going to be a long week, almost as long as the route we took to get here. I honestly believe we crisscrossed every street in Cana at least a dozen times before they finally brought us to our home.
Yes, but wasn't it fun? All the noise and commotion, the singing and the dancing that went along, and the well-wishers came out to greet us and give us small gifts, and of course, the teasing and the silly jokes they told to make us laugh. But most of all, didn't you feel special all dressed up like a king? You are truly the most handsome man in all of Galilee, Yuri, my love.
Now you're going to make me blush.
Well, maybe it should be your turn to blush. But isn't the house beautiful? The flowers and incense and decorations and the food? Such a delicious table has been set. Mother truly outdid herself. Yuri?
Yes, my dove.
Who's that man over there drawing water from the jar for the ceremonial foot washing? He seems to be surrounded by children and some other friends.
That's Mary's son, Jesus, and his friends. I met him when my parents and I went to Nazareth to have some work done by his father, Joseph, the tradesman.
Well, it looks like the village children are having fun with him. He seems to brighten up the whole room even more.
I'm not surprised. He always was full of life. Even as a kid, I loved to hear him tell stories. Sometime we should invite him to our home just to hear him. By the way, your father looks pretty upset. Do you know what's wrong?
Well, Mother said he's worried about the wine supply. He thought he had enough to last all week, but two of the jugs turned to vinegar. He already watered the good wine down as much as he dares. Can you imagine how embarrassed he'll be if we run out? Why, everyone for miles around will be laughing about old Jacob, the winemaker, who can't even make enough wine for his own daughter's wedding.
That would be embarrassing. What's he going to do? People have been good about bringing food and to help us feed everyone, but wine? They might come through if he admitted the need that he needed some, but...
Oh, Daddy would never want to show his face in public again if he had to do that. I feel so bad for him. Such humiliation. This should be the happiest day of his life, but it's turned into the worst day of his life. Here it is, only Wednesday.
And this feast has to last 3 more days at least. I'm glad all of these people from the neighboring farms and villages have come to give us their blessing, but your poor father.
And mother. I noticed her talking to Mary. I wonder if she'll tell her about the wine.
What could Mary do? She's a poor widow herself.
I don't know, but... Ooh, quiet. Smile. People are looking at us. We don't want to let on there's a problem.
I see Mary's going over to talk to Jesus. Maybe she thinks he'll have some idea about where to get some more wine, although I doubt it. What could he possibly do?
Well, you're probably right. We might as well face it, Yuri. Our wedding will end early with total humiliation for everyone. We'll be the laughingstock of all of Cana.
Mia, my delight, don't let this ruin the fun. We still have each other. What more do we need? So everybody will laugh and talk behind our backs. So they'll gossip and give us strange looks. So what? All that matters is our love. And besides, it looks like Jesus is going to do something. Don't look. Everyone will follow our eyes. I'll sneak a peek from time to time.
You're right, Yuri. If we turn facing each other, you can keep an eye on what he's doing, and I'll keep smiling and nodding as if nothing was wrong in the whole world. But what could he possibly do that would make even the slightest difference?
I don't know, but it looks as if he's having them fill the stone jars with water.
The wine jars?
No, the big water jars for the rites of purification.
Well, that's silly. If we run out of wine, we won't need water in the jars for washing feet. It just seems so hopeless. What are they doing now?
The servant has taken some of the water out of the jar. He's taking it to the steward of a feast. He's tasting it. And he has a surprised look on his face. And he's taking it to your father.
Ooh, Daddy will be furious. He's already embarrassed about running out of wine, but to be given water from a jar for washing feet?
Brace yourself for an explosion, Mia. Your father doesn't know where it came from, and he's about to taste it.
Ooh, Yuri, get ready to duck. Daddy's liable to throw the goblet, the jar, and even the servant at you.
Me?
Well, you are stealing his little girl, and it's because of this wedding that he's being embarrassed. What do you see now?
the moment of truth. There's a surprised look on your father's face. Uh-oh.
Oh, now what is it?
He's beckoning me to come to him. He'll probably thrash me to smithereens right here in front of all these guests.
What are you going to do?
I don't know. I don't have much choice. I better get it over with.
Oh, Yuri, I'm so sorry. I love you, you know.
I know, my precious, but I must face your father before he gets any angrier.
I can't bear to look. I think I might be sick. No, I can't be sick. If Daddy hurts poor Yuri, Yuri will need me to be strong. Oh, it started. But it doesn't sound like anger and pain. It sounds excited and happy. I'll chance a look. Oh, here comes Yuri. He's all smiles. Yuri, hurry! What happened?
Taste for yourself. I saw them pour water in those big jugs. I know it was ordinary water, and yet, what do you taste?
Why, Yuri, it's delicious wine.
Maybe the best wine I've ever tasted.
What did Daddy want you for?
He asked me why we saved the best until last. As if I should know. He's the one responsible for the wine. He was so thrilled, he's just bubbling over. I didn't have the heart to tell him where it came from. And to top it off, there are 5 more jars of the best wine anyone could ask for.
Perhaps we should thank Jesus. He's the one who made it all happen.
You're right, my beloved. You know, it's almost like the stories of the Messianic Age when wine will flow like rivers. You don't think...
If he can change water into wine, anything is possible.
Perhaps you're right. Let's both tell him thanks. But first... Set me like a seal on your heart, like a seal on your arm. Set me like a seal on your heart. How right it is to love you. For love is stronger than death.
Jesus.
That's the idea. I want him to meet my blushing bride. Have you invited Jesus into your life?
Mm-hmm.
Into your marriage? Into your church? You see, he can, and he will, and he wants to change your ordinary, watered-down life into something wonderful and extraordinary. Why not invite him in right now? Let's pause. Let's pause so that in your heart of hearts, you can invite Jesus into your life, into your marriage, into your church. now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Rise up, O saints of God. Pray for the church, the world, and all those in need. We have Jenny Hancock on our list today. Are there others, and Ann, are there other people or concerns you'd like to add to our prayers today?
Well, Alice and Lowell.
Yeah, and Lowell.
We pray for the church, strengthen pastors, deacons, and all who lead your people in ministry. Pour out your spirit and make us bold to proclaim your reign of mercy and justice. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer. For the earth, for vineyards and orchards, fields and gardens, urban parks and wilderness areas, fill the earth with your abundance and provide for the needs of all living things. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
For the nations, guide leaders and decision makers toward the well-being of all in their care. Strengthen those who work to uphold human rights for the sake of the dignity of all people. Shelter communities threatened by violence and show us the way of peace, Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
For those in need, for those who face a scarcity of resources and those who struggle with debt, for all who suffer with chronic pain, all who grieve, and all who are ill, we pray especially for Jenny Hancock, Dan Culpepper, Alice and Lowell Ott, and others we name in our hearts before you. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
For this assembly, transform us and fill us with your life, so that we pour out your love in service to the world. Bless all who work to provide food for others. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer. With thanksgiving, we remember those who have died in faith. We pray especially for Tyler Sorrell and his family and on the death of his mother, Leora Wilberger, and for Jane Champion and Nancy Lindemann on the death of their mother. Inspire us by their witness and unite us in eternal light, the eternal light of your presence. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Receive our prayers and fill us with the radiance of your love. Through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
And also with you.
Let us share that peace.
Joyous our praise. See here before.
us pray. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, maker of all things. Through your goodness you have blessed us with these gifts. With them we offer ourselves to your service, dedicate our lives to the care and redemption of all that you have made, for the sake of him who gave himself for us, Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ. By the leading of a star, he was shown forth to all nations. In the waters of the Jordan, you proclaimed him your beloved Son, and in the miracle of water turned to wine, he revealed your glory. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Holy, holy.
In mercy for our fallen world, you gave your only Son, that all those who believe in him should not perish, but have eternal life. We give thanks to you for the salvation you have prepared for us through Jesus Christ. Send now your Holy Spirit into our hearts, that we may receive our Lord with a living faith as he comes to us in his Holy Supper.
Amen.
Come, Lord Jesus.
Shone bright up in the east, to Bethlehem the wise men came, those many miles and journeyed long for you. And to the place in which you were, their frankincense and gold and myrrh they gave to you and cried out, Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Every breath he drew was, yes, an act of worship.
Alleluia, 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 alleluia.
The night he was betrayed, our Lord, he broke the bread and blessed it then, said, this is
kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated.
Thank you.
The body of our Lord Jesus Christ and his precious blood strengthen and keep you in his grace.
Amen.
Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever.
Amen.
We all are one in mission. Communion participants. And in addition, next Sunday, we have our annual meeting. And I know that in that meeting we have some good news to share, or you may have already gotten it, but it's good. And are there other announcements? I know that you would like to...
I just wanted to give a plug for the Bible study, and especially to the younger families. It's just a fun hour of rest and listening to a fun man with a great accent, and thanks, Pastor Larry. He's actually singing in person. And you can come and go. You don't have to be there for another series. But especially, you know, I wish I would have had that when I was raising my kids. It's just restful, laughter, and learning. So.
And spiritually packed.
Yes, it is. Yeah. And done in a visual way for those who are visual. And it's really links the Bible with today. So I highly encourage anybody.
Thank you. Oh, but we also, with the annual meeting, we also have potluck. So, food! We'll all be there for food. Yes. Also, I will be, I've gotten somebody who's going to fill in at Union Congregational, so I will not have to go over there afterwards, and I can stay and participate. So that sounds good news to me.
And speaking of food.
Yes.
speaking of food.
Was that a tie-in or what?
We're doing a Super Bowl, so if you have any non-perishables or money that you can, that you're willing or can donate, there's a bowl over there. It's metal. You see it. It's a big soup pot. You can put yourself in there and yourself. Yeah, dad or grab. Is
there a money?
Thanks so much. So you can, after, yeah, so you can put your food in here, or not food, your and money, anything that you're, anything you donate in here, food, money, and then you can write your name. Across from the library, you'll see if you're going to go have cake. You can write your name on one of the footballs to show that you donated, and we want... We want at least 200 footballs on there by the end, by the next 2 weeks, by the Super Bowl.
Okay.
We're hoping for...
Is that the goal time? Yes.
That's a pretty big bucket to fill.
Yeah. It's pretty big, so I think it'll work.
Okay. Thank you, Jeremiah. One last thing. Last night, we went to see the hospice show at the high school. If you haven't been, in fact, I didn't see many of you there, I encourage you to go. It's a good way of support hospice, and it's a good program. So, at 2 o'clock this afternoon. Okay. Any other announcements? Then let's go in peace and have some cake and share the good news.
Thanks be to God.